The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Welcome to Memorable Moments in History. It was this week, on October the 18th, 1685, that the Edict of Nantes was revoked by King Louis XIV of France, thus depriving Protestant Huguenots of all religious and civil liberties previously granted to them by Henry IV in 1598. It was in 1781, October the 19th to be exact, as their band played The World Turned Upside Down, the British Army marched out in formation and surrendered to the Americans at Yorktown. More than 7,000 English and Hessian troops, led by British General Lord Cornwallis, surrendered to George Washington. The war between Britain and its American colonies was effectively ended. The final peace treaty was signed at Paris on September 3rd, 1783. Also on that date in 1960, the U.S. embargo of Cuba began as the State Department prohibited shipment of all goods except medicine and food. And in 1987, Black Monday occurred on Wall Street as stocks plunged a record 508 points, or 22.6%. The largest one-day drop in stock market history. It was October the 19th, 1990. Beset by an eroding economy, Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev won parliamentary approval to switch to a market economy. And it was on October the 20th, 1818, that the U.S. and Britain agreed to set the U.S.-Canada border at the 49th parallel. Now for this week's Memorable Moment Memory Buster. Here's the first clue. This investigation began on October the 20th, 1947. Think about it for a couple of moments, and I'll give you another clue later. It was October the 20th, 1935, that Mao Zedong's 6,000-mile-long march ended as his communist forces arrived at Yan'an in northwest China, almost a year after fleeing Chiang Kai-shek's armies in the south. And it was on that date in 1944 that General Douglas MacArthur set foot on Philippine soil for the first time since he escaped in 1942. Thus fulfilling his promise, I shall return. It was 1968 this week that Jacqueline Kennedy married multi-billionaire Greek businessman Aristotle Onassis, ending nearly 5 years of widowhood following the assassination of her first husband, President John F. Kennedy. And it was this week, in 1973, that the Saturday Night Massacre occurred during the Watergate scandal, as President Richard M. Nixon fired Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox and Deputy Attorney General William Ruckelshaus. Attorney General Elliot Richardson resigned. A firestorm of political protest erupted over the firings, leading to widespread demands for Nixon's impeachment. It's the birthday of the English architect Christopher Wren in 1632. He died in 1723 and was born in Wiltshire in southwestern England. Considered one of the greatest minds of his time, he designed St. Paul's Cathedral and 52 churches for the City of London. The secular buildings included the new wing of the Hampton Court near London, and Greenwich Hospital, now the Royal Naval College. It was on October the 21st, 1805, that the Battle of Trafalgar took place between the British Royal Navy and the combined French and Spanish fleets. The victorious British ended the threat of Napoleon's invasion of England. British naval hero Admiral Horatio Nelson was mortally wounded aboard his ship, the Victory. And it was in 1879 this week that Thomas Edison successfully tested an electric incandescent lamp with a carbonized filament at his laboratory in Menlo Park, New Jersey, keeping it lit for over 13 hours. It was on October the 21st, 1915, that the first transatlantic radio voice message was made by the American Telephone and Telegraph Company from Virginia to Paris. And in 1967, thousands of anti-war protesters stormed the Pentagon during a rally against the Vietnam War. About 250 were arrested. No shots were fired, but demonstrators were struck with nightsticks and rifle butts. It's the birthday of jazz great Dizzy Gillespie in 1917. He died in 1993 and was born in Cherwell, South Carolina, as John Burks Gillespie. He was a trumpet player, composer, band leader, and one of the founding fathers of modern jazz, known for his trademark puffed cheeks and bent trumpet. Now for some more clues to this week's Memorable Moments, Memory Buster. This investigation began on October 20th, 1947. Each witness was asked the following question. Are you, or have you ever been, a member? Still stumped? I'll give you a little more in just a moment. It was on October the 22nd, 1962, President John F. Kennedy appeared on television to inform the Americans of the existence of the Soviet missiles in Cuba. The president demanded their removal and announced a naval quarantine of Cuba. 6 days later, the Soviets announced they would remove the weapons. In return, the U.S. later removed missiles from Turkey. And in 1979, the exiled Shah of Iran arrived in the United States for medical treatment. A few weeks later, Iranian militants seized the U.S. Embassy in Tehran and took 66 American hostages. They demanded the return of the Shah for trial, and the U.S. refused. The Shah died of cancer in July of 1980. The hostages were freed in January of 1981. It's the birthday of the Hungarian composer Franz Liszt in 1811. He died in 1886 and was born in Rating, Hungary. He was a brilliant pianist, best known for his Hungarian Rhapsody No. 2 and Liebestraum No. 3 and his Faust and Dante symphonies. Now for the last clue to this week's Memorable Moments Memory Buster. This investigation began on October 20th, 1947. Each witness was asked the following question. Are you, or have you ever been, a member? Aaron Copland, Dashiell Hammett, Lillian Hellman, Dorothy Parker, playwright Arthur Miller, and the actor and filmmaker Orson Welles were affected. Don't know? That's okay. I'll give you the answer toward the end of the program. It was this week in 1983 that terrorists drove a truck loaded with TNT into the U.S. and French headquarters in Beirut, Lebanon. It exploded and killed 241 U.S. Marines and 58 French paratroopers. In 1989 this week, Hungary declared itself a republic, 33 years after Soviet troops crushed a popular revolt against communist rule. And in 1990, Ukrainian Prime Minister Vitaly Mazal resigned after mass protest by students becoming the first Soviet official of that rank to quit under public pressure. It was in 1861, October the 24th to be exact, that the first transcontinental telegram in America was sent from San Francisco to Washington, addressed to President Abraham Lincoln from the Chief Justice of California. Also on that date in 1922, the Irish Parliament voted to adopt a constitution for an Irish Free State, which formally came into existence in December. And it was on October the 24th, 1929, where Black Thursday occurred in the New York Stock Exchange, as nearly 13 million shares were sold in panic selling. 5 days later, Black Tuesday saw 16 million shares sold. Also on that date in 1931, Chicago gangster Scarface Al Capone was sentenced to 11 years in jail for federal income tax evasion. In 1934, he was transferred to Alcatraz Prison near San Francisco. He was paroled in 1939, suffering from syphilis, and retired to his mansion in Miami Beach, where he died in 1947. It was October the 24th, 1945, that the United Nations was founded, and also on that date, in 1980, communist authorities in Poland granted recognition to the trade union Solidarity. It was outlawed in 1981 after the government imposed martial law. In 1989, it was re-legalized. And it was on October the 24th, 1994. For the first time in 25 years, British troops were absent from the streets of Londonderry, Northern Ireland, following ceasefires by IRA and pro-British forces. Now for the answer to this week's Memorable Moments Memory Buster. This investigation began on October 20th, 1947. Each witness was asked the following question. Are you or have you ever been a member of, and Aaron Copland, Dashiell Hammett, Lillian Hellman, Dorothy Parker, playwright Arthur Miller, and actor and filmmaker Orson Welles were affected. It was on October the 20th, 1947. The notorious Red Scare kicks into high gear in Washington as a congressional committee began its investigation into communist influence in one of the world's richest and most glamorous communities, Hollywood. After World War II, the Cold War began to heat up between the world's two superpowers, United States and the communist-controlled Soviet Union. In Washington, conservative watchdogs worked to out communist in government before setting their sights on alleged Reds in the famously liberal movie industry. In an investigation that began in October of 1947, the House Un-American Activities Committee, or HUAC, grilled a number of prominent witnesses, asking bluntly, are you, or have you ever been, a member of the Communist Party? Whether out of patriotism or fear, some witnesses, including director Elia Kazan, actors Gary Cooper and Robert Taylor, and studio honchos Walt Disney and Jack Warner, gave the committee names of colleagues they suspected of being communist. A small group known as the Hollywood Ten resisted, complaining that the hearings were illegal and violated their First Amendment rights. They were all convicted of obstructing the investigation and served jail terms. Pressured by Congress, the Hollywood establishment started a blacklist policy, banning the work of about 325 screenwriters, actors, and directors who had not been cleared by the committee. Those blacklisted included composer Aaron Copland, writers Dashiell Hammett, Lillian Hellman and Dorothy Parker, playwright Arthur Miller, and actor and filmmaker Orson Welles. Some of the blacklisted writers used pseudonyms to continue working, while others wrote scripts that were credited to other writer friends. Starting in the early 1960s, after the downfall of Senator Joseph McCarthy, the most public face of anti-communism, the ban began to lift slowly. In 1997, the Writers Guild of America unanimously voted to change the writing credits of 23 films made during the blacklist period, reversing but not erasing some of the damage done during the Red Scare. This has been Stephen J. Lowenstein reading to you. Thanks for listening here on theflypod.com. Join me next week for another edition of Memorable Moments in History.